Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yeah, we're here to discuss all the big stories of the week that have gone on, all the fun stuff that's happened, and everything that could possibly be any news whatsoever in this whole period of time, because we are still in lockdown and we are still making the best of it. So someone did write in and complain about the audio on one of the shows the other day. We're doing our best. Please be patient with us. We will be back to normality as soon as you can. So just be calm. Be calm. It's all right. We're trying our hardest.
Sorry, should anybody do a backup recording?
Actually, yeah, go on, do a backup recording, because, but it has actually worked.
Yeah, it's still...
But you know it's not going to go, now I've not done a backup recording, don't you?
Do you want me to do a backup?
Yeah, the one from the... We don't need the one from the Mac show, so there you go, you're off, Jeff.
Recording now.
Thank you about that.
Oh, mate, I can edit.
Yeah, Patrice probably just saved the entire show.
I don't know. I don't think we've got the horrible stuff. I don't think we've got the Cylon-y audio at the moment. I think we're doing okay, because I think I started it in the right sequence. In the true spirit of Apollo 13, we had the startup sequence of everything working. So. Joining me, fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left, Mr. Dabs. How the devil are you, bud?
Oh, well, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Over here, everyone's talking about what's going to happen for the countdown down to unlocking the lockdown.
Okay.
President Macron met all the representatives from the regions and the mayors and everyone, because everyone's saying, how are you going to reopen France? Is it going to be region by region? And he said, no, we're not opening it region by region. We're going to open it all at once. Good. He basically said everything's going to open except for restaurants and bars and pubs.
Right.
So unless something goes terribly bad, 11th of May will be our unlocking day.
Isn't that mostly what France is made up of?
Well, yeah, it's a weird thing, because if you think, I mean, it's all about, people coming into very close proximity and having to take their masks off. Okay, that's the problem with a restaurant and a bar.
Right, got you.
Okay, and you think, well, what about swimming pools? You can't really swim with a mask on. So there's going to be lots of other places, I don't know, gyms and stuff that won't open either. Dentists have still got a problem. You can't really wear your mask while they're trying to look in your mouth. And what else? But, you can think of loads of other places that are going to be a problem, so they're going to have to add them to the list.
Yeah, and if you're a scuba diver...
Apart from that, I'm great.
If you're a scuba diver and you're thinking about writing in about that previous statement about you can't swim with a mask, shut up. Don't.
Well, did I tell you last time there was a decathlon, the sports...
Yeah, the sports places,
the pliers. Yeah, well, they do a scuba mask, like an own brand scuba mask, and some people with 3D printers and stuff have adapted a part, and they're using it as a kind of a respirator.
Oh, okay. That worked.
Quite clever.
Very clever. Callum, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not too bad, I'm okay. Yeah, ticking over, getting on with things as best as I can, and looking forward to hopefully this finishing sooner rather than later, I'm hoping. Yeah.
What the show? You've only just started.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's about lockdown. Right, got you. Yeah. Sorry, mate. No, most people,
to be here on the show, as always.
No, most people do wish this show would end.
Well, they're probably the people who complain about audio.
Yeah, no. No, it's a fair criticism at the moment, because it is a bit crap, so. Next in, Patrice. How you doing, mate?
Doing good. Took a little nap in between shows, which is
having a laugh.
No, I actually did. I was like, I was done early with everything I wanted to do, and I was like, oh, I got half an hour.
I'm going
to
have a kip. I had a kip this afternoon, but I had a kip because I got drunk last night. So, whilst playing the quiz.
Last night was fun.
Yeah, quiz was excellent. Thank you, Martin.
Yeah.
Next to him,
you should make a show out of that.
What, out of me being drunk? Yeah, the drunk show.
Yeah, totally.
Jeffrey, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, and I feel like it's been forever since I've seen you.
Did you see the tweet I included you in?
Yes, and just more proof that I am not lying. We have mountain lions roaming the streets of Boulder. I know, it's a wonderful picture.
just incredible. There's a family of, and they're just on the lawn, and someone's clearly inside, fortunately, taking a picture of them. They look like they don't give a stuff. They've got a look on their faces, which is like, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Yeah, which is pretty much their attitude through life. So the fact that that's how they're treating the entire city now, not a surprise at all.
Oh, dear Lord.
But, man, they're just beautiful. And it's easy for me to say that because I haven't been confronted by them on the streets yet.
So how many people have been confronted? You haven't lost any people, have you?
No, just like small dogs and some cats. But, you know, raccoons can get some of those too. So it's probably not fair to blame all of the missing animals on the mountain lions.
Good bet, though.
I haven't seen them yet. And I do walk through the edge of the area where they are spending most of their time. But I haven't encountered them yet. Important thing to remember is when you're out walking, keep looking up because they like to sit in the trees and drop down.
Okay. I thought you were going to say carry a gun then, and even for you.
It's, I won't offer up that advice because from my experience in this country, most people that handle guns probably aren't qualified to do so. So instead, I will tell people, look up.
You were qualified, though.
I was qualified, and yes, so I would be okay. And but generally speaking, I think people should just look up around here.
Mm-hmm. And last, but by absolutely by no means least, Howa, how you doing, girl?
Oh, I'm good.
We haven't seen you in ages.
No, you haven't. Completely forgot. It was Easter, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it was just last week, wasn't it?
You weren't here last week. You weren't on last week's show, were you?
Yeah, I wasn't here last week, which was Easter weekend.
No.
Yeah, so that's about it. So it's just been 1 week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How have you been?
I've been good.
Excellent.
Enjoying the weather.
Now, you've had a bit of a to and fro with Muller in the chat room, because he's saying everyone in his next door neighbour is African, and he said he's going to have to invite himself for dinner. Because the food smells amazing.
He should just knock on the door and invite himself.
Is that a thing?
It's just yeah, like
you
go
just
ahead.
Invite yourself around for dinner. And people say, yeah, sure, no problem. We've got loads left over.
I do. Well, a lot of people just turn up at your house. They don't even invite themselves. They just turn up.
Yeah.
Oh, we thought you might be in the area. Oh, okay. Thanks.
he says, but then he typed, I'm an infidel, though, which I think the infidels is more to do with a bit of Saladin and that kind of stuff, isn't it, rather than Africa. No, a bit more Middle Eastern.
What, Ramadan?
I don't know. He's infidel.
Is that
infidel
what he's worried
just,
about?
Just everything, or I don't think. I don't know.
I don't know, but it would make no difference. We've got so many different religions. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
we embrace them all, so don't worry.
Have you been well?
I have been. Thank you very much.
And how is Auntie Pamela?
She is fine.
We can't do a show without the Auntie Pamela report. We've got to get her on, mate. We've got to get her on 1 week.
I wish you could, but not possible.
It's my mission in life.
How are we supposed to give Auntie Pamela hugs if we can't get her on the show?
You can give her virtual hugs.
All right. Well, I'm sending Auntie Pamela a virtual hug.
Oh, Jeffrey knows all the ladies. Jesus, you tart gamut. The Week in Tech, who's got the first story? Who's going to shove it straight in the chat room and get us? Oh, Patrice, lucky knew it was coming.
Yeah, did it. Yeah, I'm following my trend as well. It's another space story, another NASA story. Like it seems to be the only thing that's happening right now, or at least in my feed. Hubble is 30 years old, if you didn't know.
Mate, now you're not 30 years old.
I'm slightly over 30 years old.
How are you? I thought you were only about yes. 26 or something.
No. I might look 26. No.
How old are you then?
30, 35.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you were that far.
Yeah, no. But I mean, I didn't think Hubble was 30 years old. But
no, it launched actually 30 years ago today, didn't it? Admittedly, yeah. It didn't work for another 2 years.
It's true, yes.
But I felt so old when I saw this story, because this launched in my deep adulthood.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I was 23 when this went up.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it that way. Thanks, Ewan.
Yeah, sorry, man. But that's it, isn't it? It's like this was 30 years ago. Normally 30 years ago. Well, 30 years ago was the 70s. No, it wasn't. It was the 90s.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything.
Callum, shut up.
I remember the launch. I remember when they had to do the other shuttle mission to go and fix the mirror, which I think holds the record for the farthest out orbit for any shuttle mission.
Yeah, it would do, definitely, because this thing's hundreds of miles away from the planet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's I mean, if you look at what Hubble has done for the scientific community and like the pictures it has taken, those are like, I mean, there are some that are kind of boring because there's a lot of space out there.
I love the fact that Batwinch has put I was 15, and then Howie, you've put I was 18. I think, don't you know how old you are?
I think
I've forgotten. No, it's a good policy for a lady to forget how old she is. I totally get it, but
I always get confused as to, I always have to actually remember my date of birth and then calculate it. I do get confused as to how old I am.
No, I've had that problem. My birthday is the one I always forget, because my birthday is on the 19th of the month, but the house number of my parents was 18. So I used to put my birthday down wrong all the time because I'd put the house number down.
That's only off by one, right?
Yeah, but it makes a bit of a difference when you fill in a form that's got your wrong date of birth on.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but the images that Hubble is taking, like some of them are breathtaking. Oh, and NASA and ESA actually put out this like picture on the page called the Cosmic Reef. It's an image of two nebulae, whatever, nebulas, whatever the multiple is.
Yeah.
Nebula, whatever.
And is it nebulae? No, I think the plural of nebula is nebula.
I don't know.
Let's go with that.
It's two, pretty. Let's put it this way. Two pretty things.
I mean, the pictures at the technical, I remember the first one that came back amazing. that was really of any definition was that Pillars of Creation one. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was just like these tall, gaseous columns, three of them. And everyone's kind of like, oh, that's great. And you're like, wow, what's being formed there? Well, stars are being formed there. And you're like, you know, those gaseous pillars are millions of light years long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. One of my favorite Hubble shots is the one where they did it just as an experiment, where they pointed the telescope at a dark spot in space and just let it do a long exposure. And when they looked at it, it was filled with thousands of galaxies.
Yeah.
They did just an amazing image.
Well, no, it's whole galaxies. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a thing here. There are 13 pictures from. That's the one. That's the Pillars of Creation.
Yes.
That one's absolutely stunning. Is that the one there that you're talking about, Jeff?
Oh, yes. That's it.
That's Messier 75 star cluster.
Yeah. The other crazy thing about Hubble is the resolution. The pictures it takes, or at least the maximum resolution it can give you, is 100 megapixels. It's about 17,000 by about 5,500 pixels.
But it takes multiple images, doesn't it? And then
most of them actually long exposures.
Because this one here, I mean, if you got that back from Boots, you'd want your money back.
Mm.
No question.
Yeah, it's the one thing I remember most about Hubble was the fact that it was out of focus after they launched it.
Yeah, that's right. The mirror was out of line.
I mean, I've had varifocals like that, you know, and you have to take them back, but it was a bit of a way to go, wasn't it?
Yeah, 250 miles straight up.
There is one. I'm going to post a link in the chat. There's a page where you can get their illustrations. There's one that is 309 megapixels, about 385 megabytes.
So I need to, full disclosure tonight, that my wife is playing WhatsApp bingo on Zoom with the local. There's 94 of them on the call.
Wow.
Yeah. So wow. So if a large image like that, I might be struggling. Yes. I'm gone for that. Or they might. It already, so.
I remember, like, when I was in school in the late 2000s, like at university, we had something called a Powerwall, which was like, I think, 8 projectors behind a screen, which was pretty big. We needed a cluster of 8 computers to even run that. Like, there was nothing powerful enough. We used Hubble images to, like, even use the resolution that system provided. So that was back then pretty impressive. I mean, nowadays we're like, eh.
It's still impressive to me.
Yeah,
it is. Incredible. But... yeah, but I get a lot of people look at it and be like, well, yeah.
I've posted a link in the chat room. It's not my story. It's actually the story I thought Patrice was going to pull out because it's always a space story. But it's vaguely relevant because it was about people complaining about SpaceX satellites being too bright and they can't see past them to the stars. Whereas Hubble really doesn't have that kind of problem, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Hubble also doesn't have to deal with our atmosphere, so it can actually look into the UV range, for example. It can take pictures in the UV range.
Well, you've got infinite depth of field, haven't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, all you need is time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, it's like properly calibrated, it can take pretty long exposures. Which is, I think, how they usually take those pictures, because, I mean, there's very little light that reaches us.
And it doesn't nudge at the last minute when pressing the shutter, which is good.
I hope not.
Well, it's got a remote, it's got a remote trigger, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
36 hours of...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the SpaceX stuff, we went out last night to watch it, and it's kind of interesting because a lot of the things that they're... So there's a guy we follow on Twitter called Virtual Astro, and he does a great job. He's got a webpage called meteorwatch.org. In fact, I'm going to make that my cool thing because he is superb. And he posts times of when the ISS is going over, and they are split-second accurate. So I'll set an alarm on the watch for like 2 minutes before the pass. It'll go off. Me and Brian will go out onto the drive and we'll sit and we'll watch it. And it'll come up literally. It's coming from the west and it'll come over just the chimney opposite and it'll just fly straight across. And we know exactly where to look and it's just superb. But he's been trying to get people to look up at the Starlink satellites. And there was one the other night and he said there's 42 of them coming over. And we went out and I think we actually saw the last one. But we'd gone out like 4.5 minutes too early. And he's put down in some of his posts that the Starlink satellites, they're just impossible to try and accurately predict where they are. And there's a bit of me sitting wondering, they're pretty good at publishing that kind of stuff. Like the ISS, they can tell you where it's going to be in 3 months' time and what time it's going to emerge over the horizon. And it's that accurate. I think Elon Musk hasn't got a clue what's happening to his Starlink satellites. I think he doesn't know where they are.
Nope.
I think you're probably right.
There's just going to be this barrage of them flying around.
But, you know, if you have enough of them up there, you don't need to know where they are. There's just enough.
There's a few images that have been posted on Twitter that Virtual Astro has done that his members have found. And you can see why people who do astrophotography are really hacked off, because it is just like someone has scratched the sky with these things.
Ah, that sucks.
Let me just put Starlink images in because there's going to be... Yeah, here we go. So these are our standard Starlink images. This is what happens. So you're sitting out taking a picture of the night sky and you've got this rain of satellites that just streak over the top. And they just completely obliterate what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
They're very visible. You can see them. And there was a thing where someone complained and he told everyone to get a life. And then he kind of backtracked a little bit and said, oh, right, okay, yeah, we won't. So there you go. There's someone's night sky look. And that one that you can see there on the right, that's an Iridium satellite. And they're a pain in the ass as well. And they've been a pain in the ass for 30 years because they're triangular and they spin. So as they come through, you'll see them. And it's that classic cigar shape there where it elongates. So it starts very, very thin as the light just strikes it. And then it'll rotate till it's full on blowing it into your camera. And then it'll just disappear out the opposite end of it. And they're a pain in the ass. And I can really see why people are pissed off at it. And it does... You know, if you go to a planning and stuff like that, the courts have got an absolute hatred of street furniture. So if you go for planning permission, you say you're going to put up a street light in front of a decent building, you'll get courts that will, you know, Lord Denning style, will say, nah, stuff off, you're not having that, because it'll spoil the ambience of the building. And yet we're throwing 42,000 satellites up. There's going to be 42,000 of these in the sky. You're not going
to
see.
I imagine at some point that's going to be an issue for other space launches, because you don't want to send a spacecraft up and have it fly right through what would amount to a space shotgun blast of satellites.
Oh, that's more than a shotgun. Like, those satellites are pretty big. That's like a truck, probably.
They're the size of a car.
Especially.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like a truck, but, you know, I mean, just this massive number of satellites, and now all of a sudden you're flying through this cloud of them.
Yeah,
it's going to be a new game, like dodgeball kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You go up in your space shuttle and then it's your maneuvering test to get yourself. So it'll be good. They're launching the crew vessel, aren't they, this coming up?
Yeah, it's coming up. Like, it's not confirmed.
Like in a couple months.
Yeah, it's in May.
Yeah, like
first crew launch Dragon, not Dragon. The heavy lifter one. The big heavy
Orion.
Orion.
The Falcon Heavy?
No. Orion, isn't it? The capsule.
Oh. I thought it was...
Wouldn't it be great if we actually knew what we were talking about? But yeah, then it wouldn't be the big show.
Exactly. I thought it was the Crew Dragon, actually.
Crew Dragon, there we go.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. Like, the first time we launch anything, like, In quite a while that we launched from the US anything with a completely new system. Actually, two new systems.
It's the first time since the last shuttle mission. Batwench, Frogger with spaceships.
That's kind of it.
We have a title.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of it. Tom is saying May 27th, which sounds about right.
Yep, that sounds good. Month and a go. Brilliant, mate. Good story. Hubble's been one of our greatest achievements by far, hasn't it? In terms of,
absolutely.
Like, you know, seeing deep. I mean, Hubble sees back to the Big Bang. And there's a great site out. I posted a link in the Slack room. NASA's got a site out that you can look at what Hubble was looking at on your birthday. So you type your birthday in, and it'll show you the image that it looked at on your birthday.
I did that. It's very good.
Yeah, mine was Neptune.
Mine was Jupiter.
Right. But it doesn't do so well with the... I noticed the picture of Neptune was actually a bit shit. A bit fuzzy and a bit indistinct. So
it's probably too close.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is too close. The optics.
When I got Jupiter, it was perfect.
Was it?
It looked really good.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm checking to see what Hubble saw on my birthday. And... Interacting galaxies, ARP 220.
Oh,
it's a collision between two spiral galaxies.
That classic shot.
Yep.
Good story.
There we
mate.
Go.
Who's next?
I think Callum was in next.
Was it? Has he already done it?
Yeah.
He I mean, next again there. Anyway.
Yep.
Coronavirus drones. Oh, careful. We did say we were coronavirus free, but go on.
Yeah, I'm very much of the mindset I want to stay clear of it, but it was just very interesting. It's actually only broke today from our daily coronavirus briefing that they're going to start using drones to deliver medical supplies, I believe, to the Isle of Wight or Isle of Man, one of the two. I think again, it's just one of those things which the Isle of Wight. It's just one of those things where I think transport and, you know, links to far flung places is probably going to take another step kind of up because of the coronavirus, because things are having to kind of develop a bit more to get to these places. So it was just an interesting one. So using drones more and more. So
can't carry very much though, can it?
I don't know.
That was my question. Yeah.
It does lack some detail, the article, because it is, you know, it's literally come out at 7 o'clock today. So, it is going to be very interesting how they actually kind of implement that, because, as you say, how much can it actually carry and how useful would it be? But
as long as it can carry a single Tide pod, it's probably fine, right?
One syringe, one bottle of disinfectant at a time.
Yeah.
One bottle of bleach.
And a needle.
And you're perfect.
Or a beating heart or something.
Have you seen Trump's retraction?
Mm-hmm.
He was being sarcastic. Yeah, righto, mate.
Yeah.
He was righto. Righto. Not that we're political.
So I'm not convinced by this drone story, to be honest. It sounds like...
April 1st.
No, it just sounds like all the other drone stories that never come about.
Yeah, it's going to be great, but it'll never happen. He's saying he's fast-tracked it, though.
Every chance, yeah.
And he said it at the Downing Street briefing, so it's like...
That's why I took a bit of attention to it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you've been to the Isle of Wight, you know it's not difficult to get to.
No.
You'd have line of sight on the drone all the way there and back, wouldn't you? It's not a wide bit of water. Having sailed a boat in that strip of water and nearly got hit by one, it's not a wide strip of water.
No.
You just wonder what medical supplies are going to go over on it, because it's just not big enough. Excuse me. I would have thought.
It's another piece of misdirection by politicians.
I got
everyone goes, ooh, that sounds modern.
I've got to say that the one thing that's punctuated this whole coronavirus thing is crap journalism. And I really want to see the words could, may, and possible absolutely banned from headlines. It's like, try reporting on the facts. What could happen? Mm-hmm. We could be in lockdown until 2021. Well, yeah, we could. We could be in lockdown until I die in 2034. but it's, you know, report the actuality. Stick to the facts. Don't report what could happen, because could's just a bloody attention-seeking headline.
You could, like, sew a button to your knee and, like, I don't know, stick something on it.
You could inject yourself with disinfectant.
Oh, yes, you could.
You could. Or you could.
You're being sarcastic.
Sticking up.
Not until tomorrow.
Or stick an ultraviolet light source up. Let's move on.
You could.
Stick an ultraviolet source where the light doesn't shine.
Yeah, and the Hubble will be able to photograph it.
Oh, beautiful. Classic comedy circles.
All right, so this drone thing, the more I think about it, the dumber it sounds.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm thinking if you really wanted to remote control, deliver medical supplies or something, why don't you get like a remote control boat? You can load a lot more on it and then...
Well, there's a ferry every 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Just put everything on the ferry and call it good.
It only takes 20 minutes. Yeah.
And it only does. You literally, the Isle of Wight, you can see. It's a couple of miles away. It's only, what, 4 or 8 miles? Something like that? That channel of
it's
water?
It's just really quick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why we haven't got a bridge, I'll never know.
You can use drones.
There are longer bridges out there.
Well, you've got so many yachts passing by, it'd have to be a very high bridge, wouldn't it?
Well, to be fair as well, the Isle of Wight is pretty compressed. You'd have to, if you had a high-speed bridge, you'd have the turnouts at the bottom to try and get everyone to turn back and finish going. You know, it'd be pretty tight.
Just build a bridge around it, like a loop.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that'll work. Bank it. Get this high speed straight back. Yeah. Just chuck the stuff out the window, including your granny.
Exactly. They're probably going to give the contract to a company that doesn't actually own any drones.
Oh, very good. Yeah. There's not everyone's going to get that, but
it's still funny.
We did.
It was announced by the transport secretary. So,
well, Chris Grayling, who was the last transport secretary, is famous for that that gaffe, isn't he? Giving a shipping contract to a firm that owned those ships. Bravo, Chris. Bravo. I'd like to say good story, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
still fun.
Interesting.
Next story. Who's got one? Ali, have you got?
Looks like Alistair beat me.
Alex, they got you in there just before you.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you mentioned this in your Mac show, but it's not specifically about this story. So the story was. Somewhat unexpectedly, the Minister for Technology in France, who's got the coolest name, Cédric O, I mean, literally O.
Good lad.
Surname.
Mr. O.
He'd approached, he'd kind of asked Apple, oh, could you just switch off all your security, please? I mean, I don't know what kind of response he expected. but the actual story was more of the fact that when President Macron made his kind of talk the other week about how long we had to stay in. He himself said, I'm not really sure about having an app that would track people. It sounds like a bad idea. And at the same time, the European Union were trying to formulate a white paper on what would be good practice, good and bad, and so on for that type of app. And the paper got published at the beginning of the week. So I'll put a link in there if you fancy. If you've never read a white paper from the European Union before, it's exactly like this every time.
I bet it's riveting.
Just lots. It's very, very dull, but extremely well written in several languages. This is obviously the English one.
I guess the key part of that as well.
They're thorough.
I bet there's a key part there in the translation, because you say the same phrase and literally translate it into French, literally translate it into Italian, literally translate it into Swedish. You could end up with three different statements entirely.
Mm.
Depending on
emphasis. Oh, no, but they have, the United Nations and the European Union have the best translators in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they make
sure. So they are always very, very well written in all the languages. What got me is, how I wish someone would provide me with an app spec at the beginning of a project like it is well thought through as this. But one of the many things there, is covered here is, don't switch off security. Don't hand over your privacy to governments. This has to be part and parcel of what would be in this kind of app. And Cédric O is obviously just riding on his cool surname. And he goes, no, switch it off. And of course, Apple, what they're going to go, oh, yeah, if you tell us to. I mean, they've said no to American presidents. They're not going to start saying yes to some tit in France, is it?
Yeah, the funny thing is Google and Apple are actually working together on that. Like, they're going to provide a contract tracing API and then later on, like, even a full-on solution, like, built into the US. Like, privacy first, like, nobody can track you or anything. Like, there's no location data, anything. Like, it doesn't even leak, like, I mean, other than to, I think, to them when you put in that you have a COVID infection, but it doesn't leak who it was. Like, it's literally just identifiers that change constantly. So
I'd seen that. I mean, it may not come to fruition, but the fact that they are actually doing it rather than not just announcing that they might do it,
they're already working on it.
Yeah.
I was just about to put another light on my face, and I managed to drop it in my Coke.
Good job.
Do you fix lights by any chance, Callum, that have got water damage?
I do now.
Good answer.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Now, I think it sets a very dangerous precedent, because I think, not that this would ever get accepted by Apple at all, but if in some strange way it was, they're never going to take these kind of, permissions have been granted back afterwards. So, there's a very clear reason for that can never happen. And It won't ever happen.
In the Western world or in our countries, this could happen, but there are today like countries out there that would either have that data already or would gladly take it, like China, like Russia, like a couple of other countries. They like in a heartbeat, they would take it. So I mean, the thing is, most governments have that kind of data already or have access to it. There are some protections in place in most places, but like through cell towers and whatever, you can, like, even today, you can be tracked. Like if someone
it's a government minister who people are asking him, what are you doing? And of course, he's doing nothing. So he has to say something.
Obviously.
You know, I've told Apple to, you know, run on Windows. So, they'll have to listen to me.
I'm sure they'll comply.
Yeah, totally. It's just nothing's going to happen there, but you had to say something and it just...
Yep, that's true. Yeah,
but is it the plan that these are all... Or nationally based, I should say.
The apps on top of the system that Apple and Google are building are, yes, because they have to tie into the national healthcare systems. Also for confirmation of certain things, like if someone puts in, I have a diagnosis, someone has to confirm that before any alerts are sent out, things like that, because otherwise, people are just gonna go crazy.
It would just be chaos.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
I mean, they said if they can get something together, they would make it available to governments, so they're, you know, it's not going to be a worldwide thing. They're just going to say, right, who wants this?
Yeah, and that makes sense because governments are the ones that need this, and two, I think it's also, it needs to be controlled. Like if everybody, like Google and Apple did with all the COVID related apps, where they basically locked down everything and said, okay, nobody can do any COVID apps other than companies, health organizations or companies that have like a proven track record in providing such services.
Yeah.
Like our company actually. Mm. Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like
you could see people creating honeypots there just to get contact details, mm-hmm. you know, sign up here and get your latest COVID tracking information. Yeah. It was just pure as bollocks, but too late.
I'm pretty sure there were a couple of apps already out there. Like it usually takes them like a second to do stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that like I've looked at what Apple and Google have proposed, and I'm so far fairly happy with the solution. And I'm also happy that Apple and Google are working together on this. Like it's not a one or the other companies doing it. They're saying, no, we're doing this together. Like we're finding a solution that works for everyone.
Mm. Yeah. So I was looking, would you believe I was actually looking through the EU document earlier on. I did take a note because one of the things they say is that they feel that location data is not necessary or not recommended.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, they don't see it as a constant tracking thing.
No, because you don't need it. Like it's not important whether you went to the store. It's important who was around you or who was close to you when you were at the store.
They said the goal is not to follow the movements of individuals or to enforce prescriptions. Mm-hmm. But that's supposed to be their idea of good practice, and it's up to the app developers and governments to...
The other thing that I've got to say as well in this whole thing is that there was some neighbours down the road that were out earlier on this afternoon when we came home. And I said to Sharon, you look at my wife, you look at the thing there. There's six people who are from the two adjoining houses. They stood having a conversation over the fence, but they weren't leaning on the fence talking to each other. They were keeping themselves apart, you know, a good sort of 10 feet. And a lot of people, from what I've seen, the majority of people are complying. There are very few people who aren't keeping a good distance between themselves and others. So if we can keep that going, then you can say, right, okay, look, you can go out of the house a little bit more, but just let's maintain the distance. I think people really would.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, most models out there, they have a 70 to 80% adherence rate. So 70 to 80% of people actually adhere to what is given out as guidance, and the rest just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but so wouldn't anyway. It's not. You know,
yeah, no, that's just true for everything. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that's already built into all the predictions and all the models.
Yeah. Nintendo confirms 160,000 accounts have been hacked. My daughter's got a Switch. Oh dear.
Oh no. We just.
Well, your daughter may be okay.
Oh good.
So the caveat in this is that this is Nintendo Switch accounts that use the older Nintendo Network ID to log in. So as long as she created a new login, then she's fine. So these would be accounts that people made like for a Wii U. And you were able initially to take these accounts and just hook them in to your Switch. And so that has been turned off now. So if you have one of the older Nintendo Network IDs, you presumably have to create a new Nintendo ID using the new system. But 160,000 accounts, and Nintendo says they didn't come from us. So presumably then these are accounts where people handed over their credentials to another app or another service, and then they were stolen from there. But yeah, it's sucky because, well, there you go.
And they're saying as well that if you've got an NNID and a Nintendo account that have got the same password, then there's a good chance that your credit card and PayPal may have been compromised as well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's how a lot of systems get compromised. Reuse of passwords. It gets stolen or leaked or however, like you get access to it, guessed at one place, and then they immediately like try it at other places to see whether it still works.
Yeah.
It's like that's how most accounts are taken.
Yeah. So if your daughter's account was in this data breach, then you should get an email from Nintendo. And they made a point of saying we are sending plain text emails for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, so if you get something from Nintendo that has logos flashy, and stuff,
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like not click really here from to Nintendo.
Fix your account.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, that was really good of Nintendo to say, this is exactly how we're sending out our emails so that it will hopefully cut down on phishing. Although now people know what sort of email to send. So,
yeah.
It reduces the social engineering risk. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still like easier.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that the email that they were sending out before the template was secret. So,
like, right.
It's like.
There is a certain. Someone explain it to me, but we've had a few of these. There's quite a few high profile ones. And it just seems like this is almost an inevitability of if you run a database with passwords, it's going to get hacked. You're gonna out it.
Yes, eventually. It depends all a little bit on your security and whether you keep stepping it up, because things change over time. Like what was secure 10 years ago, how you stored passwords, is not secure today. So I mean, the worst case like is a lot, and there are still systems out there today. If you ever get an email where it's like, hey, this is your password, run, because they have to store your password somehow in plain text in order to do that. Mm-hmm. So not the password reset where they send you a new one to reset it. That's a different one. If they send you your password, that's the worst case scenario. Like they have your passwords, and a lot of systems have them still in plain text in the database. There are other mechanisms to secure them. But yeah, eventually, I mean, if the site is up long enough, and as I said, they don't step up their security, or like the database was stolen 5 years ago, they did update it, but like the old database is cracked, there's always a chance. Like it's never zero. That's why reusing passwords is a bad idea, because if it gets out there at somewhere, someplace, you're screwed.
I mean,
it makes me wonder why people don't just use password managers a lot more often.
Can you do that on the inertia? On a handset like that?
Well, it wouldn't affect if they're storing the email in plain text. However complicated your password was that was generated by your password app, it would still be stored in plain text.
Yeah.
But it would be only that one that's lost now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if the company isn't doing their thing, then, like, I mean, you got no chance, as I said. Like, that's...
Yeah.
But even then...
Strictly speaking, they shouldn't know what your password is in plain text anyway. It should all be hashed directly, and they shouldn't have a clue. So even if people nick it, they've got a load of database information they can't read anyway.
Rogue employee.
Yeah. Even simple hashes are hackable nowadays. There are mechanisms. The problem is that today everything the company does today might be secure, but someone today copies the database, and in 5 years someone cracks that algorithm.
And then I'd really like to see the emails they're going to send out, because they usually send out an email that says customer security is our highest priority. And of course I really want to phone up and speak to the head of the company, Nintendo,
and just say,
did you go for a shit today? You did go for a shit, so actually having a shit is more important than your customer security.
Oh, easy.
You had a shit, but you didn't ensure customer security. So how'd say it's your top priority?
We might have a title. don't think Apple are going to approve it, mind. That's a bit harsh, though, Ali. Everyone's got to go.
Then they shouldn't make claims like that way. It is our seventh priority. That's what it should say. Having a shit, getting paid my bonus, and various other things.
Well, you could say, if
you're lucky, if it's seventh.
If you were prioritising my security and working on it, and you had to stop to go for a shit, then I'll let you off. But if you hadn't even started, and then you went, then no.
Or if you take the workstation into the restroom with you.
Oh, okay, good point. Yeah, if it was a priority, you'd have a workstation in there. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, how fantastic would it be if in the email it said, we didn't really care about security, just kind of, let it kind of happen. Yeah.
If a lot of companies were honest, they would say that.
Your account played for our Christmas party last year, so...
We've
been tapping into your account for years. Howa, have you got a story for us, Mrs.?
I do. Do you know anyone's brought this one up? It's a Windows one.
Oh.
So a lot of people updating to Windows 10 have found it's deleting files, and they're getting the new screen of death. Now, I updated at some point recently, and I haven't had this. I'm waiting to see. I don't think they've commented on it, or basically said just uninstall the update. but I would have already lost my files by then.
Yeah, files are gone then, yeah.
Files are already gone. But it's quite interesting to think another issue is Windows.
Probably not going to hit everyone. Otherwise,
I didn't experience that because I've got a Windows laptop that I use on and off, and that didn't happen. So,
well, blue screens of death were generally kind of kernel panicky type hardware issues, weren't they? Hardware conflicts.
Yep.
So there's got to be something in the machine, and the discerning factor as to whether you do get a blue screen of death is probably to do with the make and brand of the machine and the hardware configuration.
Could be. It's probably deleting something in the system it shouldn't, and it might not always do it. It might just depend on whatever.
So you think it's creating its own conflict?
Yeah. If the deletion of the files causes the blue screen, it sounds like it's creating its own conflict.
Right.
Which is to some extent better. I mean, it still sucks, but at least it's not deleting your files.
You've got to say, though, credit to Windows where it's due, mate, and Microsoft rather. It is a better looking blue screen of death than it used to be.
It is. It's a very professional looking.
You've got to say blue screen of death 2.0 is a definite winner over 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Could have used an emoji.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Muller is saying it was system settings, so that sounds like, yeah, it's something deleted in the system that then causes the system to not work anymore.
I can't believe you just read some out of the Muller types in the chat room.
You know, I'm looking at this blue screen of death version 2.0, and while it looks really nice, I see a huge missed opportunity here for Microsoft, because the Windows logo is on the screen. So that's a negative reinforcement for the product. They should put an Apple logo there.
That's a good idea.
I love the QR code as well. You scan the QR code and it goes to a web page that says, oh, well.
It's like, oh, sorry.
Your computer is our highest priority.
after a shit. Because the blue screens of death, I haven't heard about blue screens of death for a long time.
Oh, really? You see them in old
systems, don't you? Like bank teller machines and that kind of stuff, you know, where it's still
advertising billboards and stuff. You see them everywhere.
You haven't seen a Windows 10 blue screen of death.
Well, there's a very simple reason for that, because it just reboots the system. You never see the blue screen. It just reboots and you start over.
Oh, okay. So
they just skip the blue screen part and just went
straight through. Right, okay.
It's like Starlink satellite.
Still,
then.
It just passes on through. Mm.
Yeah, on my Mac,
it is a nice blue.
That's terrifying.
Cancelled.
Yeah, you can
blue.
Get that on a Mac too. Like, it's not blue, but it happens.
Well, you get the grey screen.
No, I mean the actual screen.
With the pinwheel and the uh-oh text.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I've got my MacBook boot camped, so for some reason Windows did what Windows does and crapped out, and I turned my Mac on and got that. It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, Microsoft has worked on this definitely, and I'm pretty sure there are less blue screens nowadays than there were back in the bad days.
Mr. Batwinch says, Batwinch has let him out the cupboard, suspect the crash is due to a system file around SATA drives. Sorry, SATA drives.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Tom VS has said, I haven't had a blue screen of death in more than 4 years, nor, to be fair, have I had an auto reboot either. So
That's good.
Yeah. Mr. Batwinch is going to have to rebuild his computer at the weekend anyway. Oh, dear. Sorry, mate.
Yeah,
I have to say that when I have seen the blue screen of death, I always think, it'll be all right. I've come out of this before. But when you get one of those unwell Mac icons in the middle of a dark screen, I mean, that I feel sick.
Big question mark in the middle of the screen.
It doesn't work.
No, but it looks ill, and then you feel ill because you think, I remember when last time this happened and I had to get a new computer or something like this.
Muller's disagreeing with Mr. Batwinch by starting off. It's not going to be a good conversation, I don't think, in the chat room. Bollocks. I think you may be wrong there, old chap. He's just typed bollocks. And most BSODs are hardware issues. Yes, they are.
It's actually a driver issue. It's not really hardware. Like, because drivers are so deep in the system, in the kernel, that it's like if something.
Well, it's usually hardware conflicts between two drivers, isn't it?
Not necessarily. It can literally just be a bug in your driver, like someone just like a developer just coded something wrong. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Forgot a semicolon at the end of a line.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you just hit that, and that's it. It happens.
Cool. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We love them to bits. It is imperative that you get out and support these people. We've dropped off a little bit in the last couple of weeks since lockdown, but please get yourself out there and please make sure you get on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Now, if you want a service from them and you want to use the offer codes, that helps us as well as, but they are really interested in the brand recognition, a lot more than pushing necessarily the purchases and sales, although you are buying a lot of stuff from them. Great stuff on offer. Had a chat with a girl that I've known for about 25 years this week. She said, I want to do a website. What are my options? We talked about Squarespace, and she was like, yeah, but that's, you know, 120 quid a year. It's not insignificant. I want to be able to do it myself. I want to know more about what's going on. So we've got to go with WordPress then. Go with TSO Host. WordPress, they'll start WordPress from £12 a year, including hosting. And she went, yeah, that's a lot more, though, £12 a month. I went, no, £12 a year, Emma. And she went, oh, my God, that's amazing. I said, yeah, you get a simple website, 5 or 6 pages. They'll host it for you for £12 a year, and you've got full access to the WordPress stuff. I even know someone who knows loads about WordPress who can help you, Howard. And she said, that's great. And then if you look at the moment, straight on the homepage, 33% off web and WordPress hosting services at TSO Host. If you type in the offer code BTN20, you won't get it on top of the 33%, I don't think. I think they might go with the only biggest offer, so bad luck. Thanks to them. Please get out, please support, and please make a note on the socials. And also, we love iMen Max. They're really cool to us. We've got some good stuff with them. Anything with an Apple logo on it, if it's broken, they will fix it. Will Green is going to get his Pixel Book fixed anyway, though, next week and see what happens. But anything at all. They're not. They're in lockdown at the moment, and they are struggling to get things repaired. So just get in touch, and they'll put you in schedule for when they're coming back. But they are doing refurbished machines. Callum, you said you got some 21-inch iMacs at the moment?
Yeah, so we've got some 21.5-inch iMacs ranging from about 2012 to 2015 in terms of ages. All at least Core i5, nice machines. We've got plenty in stock, so I know it's getting harder and harder to get hold of stuff because we are looking all the time. We've got plenty of stock. Head over to the website, you get 5% off with BTN as well. So,
And, of course, all your machines come with a warranty, don't they?
Absolutely. Minimum 6 months, sometimes more if they're a little bit newer. So.
Excellent. Thanks, mate. Great service for them. And, again, get on the socials and say thanks to at IMN Max for supporting at British Tech. We love them. Lum to bits. Callum, you and where Callum head on that ear?
What?
Muller, I'll read that out if you've got it in English, but at the moment I'm struggling.
Muller thinks I have one rabbit's ear.
What's that to do with?
Well, look, because of the Iron Man Max logo.
Oh, because of the Iron Man Max logo. Got you.
Yeah, so if I do that, I could have one coming out the other side. There you go.
Okay. I'm sure we can make that amendment. time for the cool thing. Starts off Mr. Dabs.
Oh, right. Okay. So I actually don't have a cool thing. Oh, okay. I have an update and three really crap things I thought might be fun.
First, we used to do pass of the week, so you didn't have to have cool thing of the week. You could do pass thing.
Yeah. First with the update. Remember last week I said that the courts had forced Amazon to close down until they could show that their storage warehouses were, you know,
distancing
safe places to work. Well, that's just been confirmed at the courts in Versailles that they had to do this. And they've also been told they can only accept orders for essentials. So they've listed high tech, animal goods, health and beauty, food and stuff. But for every sale that they accept and try and ship that doesn't fall into one of those categories, they will have to pay a fine of €100,000.
Every order
that doesn't fill. Yeah. So it's not like it's a straight fine. It's every infraction that would have to pay €100,000. So accepting that kind of €5.23 hair dye or something is probably not a good idea. But anyway, that was an update. Sorry. If I can just paste the
story.
First crap.
You should have brought that.
Yeah.
It's the same story as last week. So
I could have done with that. So.
I had this crap thing that I saw on TechCrunch. Was a guy kind of and really pleased that he'd got loads of investment money for his augmented reality swimming goggles. Bear in mind what I said about going swimming. Although the chlorine is probably kind of a safe environment, as soon as someone just lifts their head out of the water and coughs in your face, you're going to catch something. So I think swimming pools of all sorts are going to be closed everywhere for months and months until they try and sort something out. So good on this guy, you know, with his press release for something that no one can use, but I'm sure he's really pleased about it. There was another story, which was, I've just pasted the link in, which is one of these kind of home security cameras, which the press release came in, and it was just really, really funny because they were trying to sell it as the ideal camera for a lock-in.
All right.
Okay, think about that. So if I can read from the press release, because I couldn't find the press release online, but it says, this is the world's first camera that helps parents keep an eye on their kids while working from home. Okay, let's think this through, shall we? It's an AI-enabled Internet of Thing camera, which kind of helps parents keep an eye on their kids when all of you are at home at the same time.
So you're up in your office or your study, and then you've got this camera downstairs so you can watch the kids, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so you can go, you know, I mean, are you doing your homework? You know, so
perfect
you
for people camera to do that. Homes.
Yeah, because it'd be absolutely impossible to open the door and say, are you doing your homework? You would have to have your place fitted out with these cameras. So I thought that was just really kind of another crap thing of the week.
It's got human detection on it.
I think the ultimate, and it's not really a tech thing, but crap thing of the week is usually the place I see the blue screen of death is actually at places like McDonald's on the ordering touchscreens. And although the time may come where they'll reopen all the restaurants and cafes for us to use, I'm not sure we'll be using those touchscreens for a while. So in the meantime, I've just pasted a story in that it's doing the rounds in France where a McDonald's had opened up purely for drive-through, and it created a three-hour traffic jam that ran hang on, how long was it? Was it something like 7 kilometers in the end? And you think, how sad is that? Hey, it's a McDonald's. Oh my God. Let's just... let's get in a queue. You know, I would just, but the rest of the roads, it was a multi-lane traffic. The rest of the roads, the lanes were free. I mean, if it was me, I'd just go, well, I'll just go home.
Yep.
Yeah.
People stayed there. They stayed there. And they waited 3 hours to get their, vom and chips.
Well, no.
Anyway, that's really my McDonald's third crap thing of the week. Well, I mean, you'd have to really like McDonald's, wouldn't you?
That's pretty cool. Yeah. What a crazy bunch of
idiots. Was that in America somewhere?
No, this is in France.
You would think that's somewhere in the United States.
Exactly, that's what I
was thinking.
I mean, they are.
Oh no, the French, they love their fast food.
They
love that, but it's...
You know, it's not very fast if you have to wait 3 hours before you can...
Well, quite.
And it's not food either, so...
And there's that too.
I have to admit that I've watched an awful lot of YouTube videos during this lockdown, and I watched a thing the other day, which was the 10 coolest or the 10 biggest things that are abandoned structures in the world. And there was like the Buran, you know, the space shuttle version that the Russians had and that kind of stuff and a few other things. But there was also the McDonald's barge in Canada. And they built a floating, and it was built from scratch. It cost $4.5 million to build this floating barge, and it was used as a floating restaurant, and it was tied up at a quayside. And then after the fair that they'd had, like the World's Fair thing that they'd had there, McDonald's just walked away from it. They haven't done anything at all to try and get rid of it or to decommission it or to stop it leaking anything into the water or anything. They've just walked away from it. And there's loads of suggestions about, oh, we'll change it into a shopping mall or we'll change it into a, you know, condos or something like that.
Was it that big?
It was huge. It was huge. Yeah. Really interesting. Gobsmacked. Never knew about it at all, but it was, I want to say it's Vancouver, but it's it's just on the waterfront, just sat there and it's rusting up and going green and horrible. And they talked about renovating it constantly, but it's a full-size working restaurant, effectively, on the water. Amazing video. I thoroughly recommend watching YouTube videos when you're bored.
Open up a sail through.
A sail through, yeah. Put your spinnaker down before you enter the lane, though. Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
So I've got the VPN that I use. So it's called IPVanish. It isn't the kind of cheapest VPN out there, but it's one I've used for a good number of years.
Why aren't you using the sponsor's VPN, mate? TSO Hosts, and you get a 20% discount on it as well.
Didn't know they had one. That's
yeah,
what.
They do. So there you go. So you okay, can't I'll have do a look. Your recommendation because our sponsors have got one.
So my cool thing is TSO Hosts VPN. Anyway, the VPN I've used, I will have a look at that. The VPN that I use, it's very well rounded and I've never had any issues with it in terms of connectivity or kind of speed issues. And the amount of places you can pick from right down to the city is quite impressive.
Did you enjoy your last appearance on the Big Show, mate?
No. okay. Mac show from now on. No. I'll have a look at it.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So I got something a little bit harder to get to. There is a big sale going on from one of my favorite book publishers. It's the IT Revolution books, or IT Revolution is, I think, the publisher. I think I have picked some of their books in the past, the Phoenix Project and the DevOps Handbook and Accelerate probably. They have so many of my really top 10 books, and they're selling them off for World Book Day until May 12th. So I think every day or two, they're going to more or less give away a book. Like it's not free, but the book I picked up yesterday, A Seat at the Table, was $1, like $1.
Wow.
That was it for the Kindle version. Obviously not the printed version. I don't think they're going to do that. But the Kindle versions for $1. And they're going to give away multiple books, including their latest book that they've already announced, I think, on the 29th, I think. Yeah, Team Topologies is gonna go on sale on the 29th. So if you want to, like, if you want those books, go out to IT Revolutions Books, IT Rev Books on Twitter, at IT Rev Books on Twitter. Nice. It's not on the website. It's only on Twitter, at least as far as I've found it. But they're really good books. I actually saw that they have a new book that they published in December. Actually two, one in November, one in December. And I'm going to read them right away. They're this good. The new one is The Unicorn Project that I want to read, which is a follow-up to The Phoenix Project. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Excellent. It's
probably going to be a pick in the future. Just saying.
Cool.
It is good.
Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
I have Fing, which is a service that, or an app that I've been using for a long time on my iPhone and iPad to keep track of my network and every device that I have on the network. You can do speed tests, and it does a lot of really cool stuff for you. What I was completely unaware of until about a week ago is that there is a desktop version of the app for Mac and Windows. And I figure if I didn't know about this, there's probably a lot of other people that didn't know about this either. So I've installed it and logged into my Fing account. Everything popped up and and it's great. So now when I want to run network tests or look and identify specific devices on my network, I have the option, if I'm sitting at my desk, of just using the Fing app on my Mac. And the app is free to use. So you don't have to pay anything. I think I have a Fing subscription, which takes the ads out of the iOS apps. But there you go. It's of course they have paid products also, but for keeping on top of everything that's going on with your home network, or even if you want to keep on top of everything at like your work network, Fing is a fantastic tool. And now there's a Mac and Windows app version too.
I'll second that. I think Fing was one of the first apps I ever bought for my iPhone.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah,
Oh, mine good. Was a card trick.
Well, I did fart at, I have to admit, Carol. Wasn't quite that high, bro. Good pick, mate.
Then right after that, you got Fing.
Yeah. Howa, what have you got for a skill?
So I've got, I think, I'm not sure if I've ever put this in here before. Hang on. It is for video recording. But it's a nice handy tool to use. If you're doing, I don't know if you're a teacher or you're just trying to record something on your screen to explain to a client or to somebody else, or you're doing a training video, I found it quite useful just to record on there, and you can highlight certain bits and pieces. It does have a free version, which I think allows you up to 25 videos, I think, a month or something. But
that's cool.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's a pricing tab here. Here we go. Yeah, so
is it quick to get started with?
Yeah, it's quite easy to use.
The pro version is only $4 a month, though, so it's hardly going to break the bank, is it?
No.
It's not horrific.
It is quite useful because you can, especially if somebody's asking you the same question over and over, you can just record a video for it, and that video can be there and just direct people to that video. Mm.
And the pro version is free for teachers and students.
This looks
great.
I
didn't realize that. Yeah.
Just need a student in the house.
Mm-hmm. I could use right this.
I got two kids.
But only if it's easy.
No, it is very easy.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
I'm going to give that a go. Good Thank pick, you. Mate. Good tip. Yeah,
me too. Good pick. You want to give that a try?
Nice one. My cool thing is a Meteor Watch. .org. So there's a guy on Twitter at VirtualAsto. I thoroughly recommend that you follow him because he does a lot of updates and a lot of support of people who want to do telescope and nighttime viewing and astrophotography and astro stuff. Really great resource. Runs a service free of charge, doesn't purely for the love of getting people to look upwards, but has absolutely great website at meteorwatch.org where you can get information about Starlink if it's coming over, watch it get launched at Cape Canaveral and then come over England 20 minutes after it's got launched. When the Dragon is supplying the ISS, you can see both of them going over and he'll post the times for that. And if you scroll down, you'll find the ISS station times and there'll be a link there and you just sit down, scroll through, and there's a chart that you can then set up calendar invites for. So, I mean, they stopped in 4th of April, so there isn't really more. There's more coming through at the end of May. But you get a notification of where it's coming from, what time the pass starts, what time the pass ends, and also then how bright it is as well. So the incredibly bright ones are the ones that come overhead from the west, and they really are incredibly bright. It's obvious to see it going over the sky. But do follow him. He's a really nice bloke, and he's retweeted a couple of things that I've done. I've asked a few questions, and he's replied and given answers. So I've learned things from following him. So do give him a follow. Meteorwatch.org. Right then, everyone. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Dabs?
Okay. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Ali Dabs. And yeah, that'll have to do.
That's all right, mate. We'll see you again soon. Where are you, Callum?
Yes, you can get hold of us at imax.com, all the usual socials. Drop us an email on info@imax. I'm on Twitter at @ohara_callum. If you've got any questions, anything you want any guidance with, drop us a line and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, and just like Jeff, he's available for the BTNers. If you need help and support, get in touch.
Definitely.
Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I am here on BTN every week on the Mac Show and the Big Show. And I just started a podcast. I'm going to mention that again.
Do it.
Just started a podcast, Foodie Flashback. I just published the third episode on Monday with yours truly, Jeff. Really great episode. Really enjoyed it. The other two were really good too. Like I had Ewan. We talked
about. You're upset now because I took the mickey out you earlier on saying it's the best one.
No,
I've done.
Maybe the last one is always the best one I've done. I don't know. They're really good, like all of them. The Sherry Trifle story from you, like everything, the awful things we talked about.
I'm only joking, mate.
The stuff I talked with Doc about is really great. It's about food and your food-related memories and like how you grew up and with food and all those stories. We just like really take a deep dive into like everything in your past.
You need to get Howard on. I bet she's got some cool stories about food.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Tons of stories about food. I love food, so of course I have stories about food.
African culture about turning up unexpected next door to Muller.
That would be great. Yes, we're going to do that.
Extra food.
Yeah, we're gonna set that up as well. I have a couple of I have friends in Italy that I talk to. They're gonna come in. Like, there's so many people I want to talk to. I did one with Tom Furry in the chat room. Never been on a podcast before, ever. We did a podcast together on Foodie Flashback, so you can definitely look forward to that. It was a great episode too.
We live in a global economy, food is the only thing which separates us as nations now. And I'm totally against the. I mean. When I was a kid, my aunt and uncle used to come over, and he would bring Rightguard shaving foam in a can, and he used to leave it here, and I used to sit and play with it. It was like mousse, and I was fascinated by this tin because we had no Rightguard over here. It was not a brand that was sold in the UK, and of course now things like deodorants and household products and that kind of stuff, they're global economies. The only thing that separates us as people is food now. Great idea.
That's true. No, it's absolutely true. So if you have a story to tell, like if you, like even if you have never been a podcast, even if you don't consider yourself a foodie like Tom, he was very clear on that, but like we talked for an hour, so not a problem.
Get Howard's booking details before you go. Yes, of course, Mr. Dabs is in France as well. I bet he's got some stories or his missus. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm vegetarian. I'll do all the cooking.
Well, that's even harder to get a good story about food then.
Yes. Totally. No, foodieflashback.com, at foodieflashback on Twitter. Just reach out to me. We're going to set something up. Don't worry.
Brilliant. Jeffrey, what have you got? Where are you, mate?
Textexpander.com, of course. Yes. And Jake Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. And The Big Show, The Mac Show, all the other shows I get around. Foodie Flashback was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed mine.
And I mentioned on the Mac Show, the next webinar I have coming up is on May 5th. And it's a Text Expander Advanced webinar. So we'll be diving deeper into a lot of the cool things that you can do with Text Expander that you may not have realized that you can do. So that'll be a lot of fun.
And if you'd like Text Expander, then BTN2020 is the offer code, and you'll get 20% off Text Expander. And it's a great piece of software. And if you've got questions, because you're a BTN listener, Jeff will give you priority, mate. He'll give you listeners.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's talking about, actually, and if we get enough people together, we'll run a specific workshop just for BTN.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Excellent. And last, but by no means least, the lovely Howard, where would you be going?
I'm on Twitter as Howie A. I'm also in the Slack room. I have been quiet on Twitter, I think, for the past week or so, but I am on there.
That's all right.
You're sick of me.
Get out there. Enjoy. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again next week on Friday, still in lockdown, no doubt, with all the shows, Mac Show, Big Show, and Photo Show as well. I had a great photo show today with a guest photographer that came along, Paul, who's a friend. We've also got the news show that's on every single day. If you'd like to donate and help support the news show, just give us $5 a month, $10 a month, or $20 a month. And if you go to the website and see Support Us, click on the Support Us and just give us that donation. It's a recurring payment. You can cancel it anytime you like, but for less than a cup of coffee, you can get a 5 minutes of tech news every morning in your podcast browser. Every single day. That's ridiculous. It's like less than $1 a day for 5 minute tech news show. Just superb. So great. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay indoors. Don't follow any advice that comes out of Trump's mouth, even if you think he's being sarcastic. Have a great weekend. Take care. Bye.